click. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, we managed to get through July 4th, now we're in the middle of July, and my gosh, it's really hot, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, sir?
Doing good. I finally found a deck that I like to play in Historic.
Is it Nexus of Fate? Because we're going to have some talking about that today.
Wait, what?
Untap a keep and draw.
Yeah, so we've got a great show tonight. First of all, I want to start the show the same way we started every week, and that's by trying to take over the world. No, I'm sorry. Wait, no. Before we begin, I want to remind you guys that this episode of the Planestalkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge when we're not in the middle of a pandemic and when Wizards allows it, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. They have locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria in Poughkeepsie, New York, which I do believe they just opened up today. Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. They do have a very nice new streamlined website. You definitely should check that out. You can find them online at KGS Online. That's K as in kite, G as in go, S as in Sam, online.com. And don't forget, you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PLANESTALKERS2020 at checkout. So definitely do that. It's worthwhile. I've done it myself. I've bought tons of things on there that my wife has no idea because I saved 5%. So moving on, I want to also take a moment to recognize our Planeswalker level patrons. Bell, Anthony, Steve, Ian, Walter, George, Josh, and Zach have been our main eight, but we, over the weekend, got two more. So I want to welcome Matt and Johnny. Johnny has been with us since almost day one.
Wow.
So I'm very excited about that. Johnny, Matt, welcome aboard. These are the guys, these are the people that really help the show in so many ways. They really do a lot for us. You know, they make the show self-sufficient. We couldn't do it without them. We're so thankful. If you want to, you know, become a patron, you want to look into it, you know, just go on to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/planestalkers. And tonight it is Untap. However, I've got a touch of stummy bug, so I'm untapping water.
So. Welcome to the rest of the world.
Right. Well, I don't want to be sick over the weekend because I'm going out of town. So, yeah. So, you know, from my lips there. But how you been, man? What's new and exciting?
No, not much. Not much. Been doing some work around the house. Putting up some fencing this week, which has been not as backbreaking as it could have been, but still a lot of. Heavy manual labor.
Okay.
Playing Magic when I can. Like I said, I found a nice new Historic deck that it's a lot of fun. It's a bit of a glass cannon, but it's fun.
It's degenerate, isn't it? It's a degenerate piece of crap.
Oh, it is so degenerate. it wins on turn four, possibly turn three.
Yeah. Does it win on turn four often, or is it like the
Very
treasure
often.
Or what? Okay, because I mean, there was the one there that was going pretty good for a while, but I mean. Required so much like it was a very combo-y deck, so.
Oh, yeah. This is not, it's still one of those decks where it's all in and you either win or you don't, right. But it's, I think it's a little more consistent than the treasure hunt.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, I've been playing white, life gain, and I'll tell you, it does it for me. Like, my hardest threat usually was Gruul, but that got taken care of today.
Yeah.
In fact, we should probably talk about that because we're still in the untapped.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, and for me personally, I've been playing Minecraft. All right. So, you know, we've got a pretty good show today. Obviously, main one, we like to talk about the state of Standard. That'll be a quick conversation.
Well,
I haven't seen the results from this weekend. In fact, I should try to pull those up. Because I know that there was like a Red Bull thing going on, et cetera. But we'll talk about the state of Standard a little bit. We'll get into that. And then we're also going to talk about the BNR announcement that came out this morning. Now, that didn't impact Standard, though they did mention it. It did impact Historic, however. And since we are, you know, a Standard/Arena podcast, we could spend a little bit of time in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it got rid of Astrolabe, which is definitely news. It long fracking overdue.
Yeah, definitely.
And then they... you know, and then we'll talk about how, what Magic or what Wizards put out this past weekend about events. For combat, who knows? We'll probably fall into one. And if we don't, we don't. And then Main 2 is really going to primarily be taken up with the Winnebox event. We're going to try to get that launched today or tomorrow, probably, as long as I get all the deck lists. So we have our field. It is bigger than we thought it was, but not as big as it could have been. So we're very excited. We're going to have a little bit of a drawing here. We'll go over that in Main 2. We'll go through emails. I'll check for any iTunes reviews at some point during the show when it looks like I'm not listening to you. And, you know, but other than that, we're pretty much on point. So, you know, let's go ahead and just get right into main phase here. So,
main phase.
All right, main phase. Welcome to main phase. So we like to start out with the state of standard. So this weekend there were a couple of events, and I'm trying to find them now. But really, the state of standard hasn't changed much with Core 21. I mean, other than, well, in the last week, the top two decks are pretty much what you'd expect. It's Bant Ramp and Temur Wreck.
Yeah, those two decks are king, and there's no really debating right now.
I mean, there's different flavors. SCG had a tour online this weekend, and Sultai Ramp was second place for that.
Yeah,
but Temur Wreck won that one. Temur Wreck won and came in first and third, which meant two of the top four. Temur Wreck also for the other challenge came in first and third, as well as sixth. So. Yeah, Temur Wreck's a deck, but it just, I think it struggles with the same thing it's always struggled with, which is like it places and it might win, but it can be beaten, you know.
Yeah, but I mean it's one of those decks where it doesn't really care what its opponent is doing, as right. long as it can do what it wants to do. It doesn't really bother me. What, you know, you're ramping into stuff. Great, that's fine. Uh-huh, keep going. Uh-huh. Yo, you're dead. Oh, you're aggro? Oh, look at all these creatures. That's fascinating. Oh, you're dead.
Yeah, I played Friday night with the students. I actually did a Zoom call with some of the students to get...
Oh, I saw what you were playing.
How'd you see what I was playing?
Screenshots.
We didn't stream it. Oh, yeah. So we were playing Paper Magic with the students, and I decided that I wanted to play a fun deck, Temur Wreck. Which, by the way, in multiplayer, which is what we were playing, like, it wasn't Two-Headed Giant even. It was just, like, you know, 1v1, v1, v1. Not as good a deck as you think. Yeah, I get to untap my lands at the end of my end step, but I still got to live through three turns.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, basically, without Teferi, I'm not going to build Bant Ramp. So.
Right.
But, yeah, Mono Green Stompy is another... Well, they call it Stompy, but basically the Mono Green deck's another... That's an up-and-comer. I think mono green aggro is a better way to put it.
Well, I mean, you know, the mono green aggressive decks have typically been called, traditionally anyway, been called stompy.
Well, I mean, bringing in Skooze and the Harbinger have really helped that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Along with Primal Might.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely a deck. I think it's going to become a better deck. I can't wait till we see what comes in Zendi. I mean, losing Nissa, it's tough to lose Nissa.
Well, so. Mono Green, well, it's also going to lose Pelt Collector, which is its best one drop. I mean, there are some replacements for it, but nothing on that level. I think Mono Green is going to stick around. Obviously, Temur Reclamation is going to die on rotation. The ramp decks will take a hit, but they won't go away.
No, not even close.
The sacrifice decks, I think it might just depend on what flavor you want to do, because most of those pieces are still there. Except for the Havoc Demon, you're losing that. So it might be more of like a food based deck.
So. Honestly, I think they'll move away from Bant because you're losing Teffy, and it'll become Simic Ramp, or Sultai.
Unless there's something crazy printed in Bant colors in Zendikar, which is possible.
Yeah, let's not even fracking discuss that. So. Yeah, Skooze is definitely good against Uro and Karraxa. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Skooze is a good card.
Yeah. So. It looks like, so right now the main decks are Bant Ramp, Temur Wreck, obviously the Sack deck, which is annoying as hell. Whether you're playing Rakdos or Jund, I think Rakdos is a little more stable than Jund, but you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's a little more stable, but I think you get access to some extra toys with John. A little more consistency, right. Gilded Goose, all that good stuff.
Right.
So Zach's not going anywhere for another year because, I mean, the cat's still going to be legal. The oven's still going to be legal. You know, Trail of Crumbs.
You're losing Mayhem Devil, but they printed you another one.
Yeah, I don't think I think that one's too slow, but they'd be more of a more of like an aristocrat style where it might be right. Looking for like death triggers and things of that nature.
And really, the problem with I think the big thing in that deck is Claim the Firstborn. That's really the piss me off card. Like, hey, let me grab your stuff and then take it. I mean, true. All right, the one thing they're losing in Sacrifice is the Priest. The Priest goes away.
Priest goes away. The Devil goes away.
And Judith, if you're playing Rock.
Judith goes away. Gutterbones goes away. Dreadhorde Butcher goes away.
Right.
So the Rakdos version I think takes a big enough hit where I think it branches out into a third color. I think it goes into Jund. So I think you'll see more Jund than Rakdos.
Because you'll see more food. Because
or even Golgari. You might see Golgari.
Golgari Sacrifice. All right. I can get behind that. So Mono Red is still in the top 10, but it's not even close.
But it doesn't lose that much with rotation. It's gonna have Embercleave. Right. You're not gonna be able to cavalcade anymore,
makes
but
that work, so.
Yeah, you can't cavalcade anymore. But Embercleave is still a hell of a magic card.
St. John, you're gonna have to wait a year, buddy, for Sacrifice to go away. That's just how it is, man.
So, I know that Mono Black decks are looking pretty good too after rotation. I mean, it's not gonna be, it won't be aggro. It might be more of like a Mono Black Devotion because they're losing Rotting Regisaur, which is such a good card. I love that card.
I'm okay to see it go. And Spawn of Mayhem, really. And Rankle. Oh, no, Rankle's staying.
Rankle's sticking around.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's definitely an interesting... It's one of the more expensive decks, I thought, too. Oh, and they're losing the Knight.
They're losing Knight. Well, no. Which Knight?
Knight of Eben is 20.
Oh, yeah. Knight of the Eben Legion, they're losing that. But there's... You could use Serrated Scorpion. You could use... Whisper Squad. There's things you could grab.
There's other plays, yeah.
It's so, not as good. It's not as nowhere near as good. But they're adequate replacements unless something in Zendikar pops up that's going to be good to put in.
Absolutely. Hold on a second. Okay, cool. Just double checking something. All right, so I mean. That's pretty much a state of standard. It's not going to change, I don't think, between this week and next either. But, it's what we do. So, right now, if you're building any deck and you want to be consistent in paper or on Arena, it's Bant Ramp. I mean, really, maybe Team or Wreck.
Some flavor of Ramp, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much a state of standard. But I want to pivot off of that because we did get a ban and restricted. We talked about it a little bit last week. But we did get a BNR today. It did not deal with standard, but they did mention it. And, you know, it should be, you know, mentioned. I'm going to try to find it here.
I got it.
Before we get into what was banned, they did say, after careful review of the metagame, we're choosing not to make any changes to standard at this time. Players tour online 3 and 4 saw the overall win weights and day 2 conversion rates of the most played decks. Bant Ramp and Team Wreck come down to healthier levels in the weeks following. We've seen other archetypes rise in popularity and win rate, including Mono Green, Rakdos, Mono Black, Paw Blade. Interesting.
Yep.
Red White Paw Blade, Simic Flash, and others. Corset has brought a variety of new tools. So while we agree with concerns that Growth Spiral Ramp decks in aggregate have recently represented a larger than ideal portion of the metagame, dude, they've represented most of the damn metagame. If you're playing green and blue, you're playing Growth Spiral. Give me a freaking break. In terms of strengths, weaknesses, and roles in the metagame. We do see different archetypes within that larger category behaving differently in terms of strengths, weaknesses, and roles in the metagame. With signs of the metagame shifting away from ramp in recent weeks. Okay. Sure it is. The release of Corset 2021 and standard with rotation coming in the fall, we've decided to allow the metagame to continue its natural evolution. So, TLDR or subtitle, however you wish to do it, the subtitle is, we're ready for rotation.
Yeah, nothing's happening between now and rotation, which, on the one hand, okay. On the other hand, that means we're stuck with these decks for 2 more months.
Right. Well, a month and a half.
Yeah, well, and it's not like there's a ton of events being fired between now and then, but at the same time, it's kind of a lame duck format at this point. where these are the decks that are, there's not going to be any major innovation between now and Zendikar popping up. So, you know, it's we just got to wait. And unfortunately, we're going to be stuck with seeing ramp, and more ramp until at least rotation. And I think ramp will be around after rotation because cultivate, migration path.
Ramp's going to be around.
It won't be as powerful because it's losing some of its tools, but Oro is still going to be legal.
They're going to put another ramp spell in a kind of growth spiral in Zendikar.
Actually just print growth spiral in Zendikar.
They could. And they totally would be surprised if they do.
They totally could.
And it might be why they're not banning it now. Is that they're going to be like, well, we don't want to ban it and then print it.
They'll print it and then ban it.
Right. So, which is what they've been doing lately, isn't it? So,
pretty much.
I mean, in any event, I mean, it's obvious to most everyone that, you know, it's, don't get me wrong here. Wizards is doing their Wizards thing. Like, they're doing a lot of hand wavy, like, not saying anything really important. They're like, oh, well, the metagame appears to be shifting, you know, and doing the Jedi mind trick. Ramp has gone down, but it hasn't.
I will say that the metagame has shifted. I mean, because Monogreen and Monoblack weren't around a couple weeks ago. So there are new decks coming through the pipeline. Pawblade is an interesting deck. I believe that's a Boros aggro deck based around dogs and Embercleave.
No kidding.
I believe so. I'd have to look that up, but I believe that's what that is.
So, I mean, it is shifting. However, it's still a mess. And Standard's boring. Standard is pretty rough right now. I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there who thinks otherwise.
No.
You know, I mean, you're playing Historic right now. And you know, and that's going to bring us to the other part of this BNR, is that what they did ban today, and they banned quite a bit.
Yes,
for Pauper, for Pauper, this was a pretty huge ban. Expedition Map and Mystic Sanctuary banned. For Pioneer, Oath of Nissa is unbanned. All right. Down with that. Modern. This was the big one. This is one everybody was calling for. There wasn't anybody not calling for it. Arkham's Astrolabe is banned.
Yep.
So, which is, I mean, that card is busted out loud, given the current metagame in Modern. And then I saved the, for everyone else, not best, but since we're a Standard podcast, I did save Historic for last. There was quite a bit in Historic today. As you guys remember previously, Wizards started suspending cards first in Historic and then banning them if they felt it was important. So the first three things they dealt with today was that. They said Agent of Treachery, Winota, Joiner of Forces, and Fires of Invention are now banned off of suspension. They are now fully banned. And then they did two that they never even bothered to suspend. Nexus of Fate. Good old Nexus of Fate. Our favorite horse.
The poster
whole point of this sound effect was Nexus of Fate. And it is banned in Historic. And Burning Tree Emissary. I did not see that one coming. Emissary is a red and a green that gives you a red and a green when you cast it.
Yes.
And it, or red or green, and it gives you one green, one red when you cast it. It's a powerful card, and it's a card they just put in Historic Anthology 3, and they're banning it outright.
Well, this was in Historic Anthology 1, I believe.
I thought it was in 3. Okay. It
might one be or one. 2. It was one of the first.
Oh, okay. So.
It's suspended.
That's suspended. You're right.
Yeah, I got suspended.
Nexus is fully.
Nexus is bye bye, and it should have never gone off the original suspension list. Honestly.
No. Was Nexus on the suspension list?
I think at one point, I think they took it off.
I don't think they ever. No, what they did was they said you couldn't do BO1 with it. You could play BO3.
I don't know. Either way, doesn't matter. It's gone.
No, they kept the standard. They kept the standard banning because I used to try to build and I was like, oh, wait, I have to play best of three with this. Okay. So Nexus being banned, I mean, we don't have to beat that dead horse. Nexus is, it warped Standard for a while. It really hasn't had too much of an impact in Modern because there are better ways to do it. But it's obviously been warping. It was warping Historic the first time out of the gate. They made it so you had to be best of three with it. Because the problem with Nexus was in a BO1, you know, it's like, oh, look, I'm playing this forever. So, They're getting rid of that. That makes sense. The one thing is that the Burning Tree Emissary is really the one that I want to talk about there, because, I mean, it says right here, the other deck that has long been a powerhouse in Historic is Gruul Aggro. Yes, it has. And while it's often been the most played deck, the separation between it and the other top decks has widened significantly in the last month. That's because you took Winota out. Gruul and Nexus are each now played more than three times as much as their closest competition in best of three, and Gruul has one of the highest win rates in both BO3 and 1. After considering the deck and the surrounding meta, we feel that the best card to act on here is Burning Tree Emissary. The explosive starts it enables are a factor in the deck's rise. Its removal should leave the deck with ample power to remain competitive, just at a more balanced level. That's crap. That deck is dead.
I don't think it's dead.
I think that deck is dead. Are you kidding me? Burning Tree Emissary was essential to that deck.
I don't think it's dead per se. I mean, it enabled some ridiculous early turns. I mean, the little bit that I have been playing, I ran into a couple of Gruul decks, and one of them chained off three of these in a row on turn two. But there's enough options in red and green that are low cost and high powered that, yes, the deck takes a hit for sure, but I don't think this in and of itself kills Gruul.
See, I think it's going to not, when I shouldn't say kill it either, but it's not going to be top tier anymore.
No, but it'll probably be solid tier two.
Yeah, because, I mean, the problem is that really, the mana on turn two, basically giving you four mana on turn two, is huge in red green. I mean, and it's not like the Domri card, which says you have to use this to cast a creature, or the other card that says you have to use this to cast, or use an effect. This right. is saying, here you go, have a red and a green. So, great, let me see. I bring this out, the Emissary out, and then I lava coil your creature because, fun. I mean, and I liked the deck. I did. I played the deck for a while. But I think Burning Tree Emissary, maybe they'll unsuspend it at some point because things are changing again. I mean, the deck you're playing is pretty good.
Well, here's
I definitely
my,
love my Mono White. So.
Here's my my concern with Burning Tree Emissary being suspended. This was a card that was brought in as part of an anthology, so it's not part of a regularly legal Historic set. So all of these cards that they brought in were supposedly cards that were like, oh, hey, this card's already balanced. We don't have to worry about this. And then it ends up where, wait, guess what? No, it is broken.
I'd like to know for the record that there's no such thing as a regular Historic set. Historic is literally made up for Arena. It's worse than you think it is.
No, but I mean, saying that it wasn't one of the sets that they picked right. to be legal for Historic. Right. They reached back into the past by 5 or 6 years and just sort of plucked this card out and said, here you go, have this card.
Exactly. And that's the problem, I think, a lot. I think Historic, they're kind of flying by the seat of their pants. I think we all kind of know that. Yeah, it's a problem. It's going to be a problem going forward for a while. Because I don't think they're testing this very well. I don't think they're putting it through its paces. I think what they're doing is just, hey, this will work really well in Gruul. And perhaps trying to be a little reactionary. I'm glad that they're upping the power level. The first Historic Anthology was very, very underpowered. The second one was pretty okay, but there was still a lot of crap in there. But the third one was pretty impressive. The third one made the white deck. I mean, the white deck's a deck.
Right.
Being able to get getting life every time a creature enters the battlefield with the Sarah Ascendant. And, I mean, it's a good deck. There's a lot of good decks out there. I think they have to be careful with this because it would be one thing if it's like a Nexus of Fate, which was, hey, we printed this in Core 19. Okay, right. It just needs to be taken out.
This, by the way, this was Historic Anthology 1. That it was
okay, was it one? Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, and I definitely agree with going ahead and fully banning Winota, Agent, and Fires.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I don't know. I love Fires.
I mean, I love Nexus of Fate, but it does not deserve to be in that. It doesn't. It's too good. It's way too good of a card.
Well, the problem I have with it though is that Historic was designed for us to be able to play our cards, okay? Because you're not giving us the ability to dust. You're not giving us the ability to trade. You're not giving us the ability to sell them back to Wizards. Historic was like, we want to let you play your cards. The one thing about it is that I now can't play Nexus anywhere in Arena. I can't play Winota anywhere in Arena. I can't play Agent or Fires unless I'm playing a casual again. We have to do that stream where we have no ban list. But,
you know, totally.
I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that at this point, I really am like, they need to do something with that. I mean, I understand cards, and they're like, hey, we gave you wild cards. Well, yeah, you gave me wild cards, but that doesn't... I want to play my cards, you know? It's kind of crappy, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's... If you're going to be... Especially, again with cards that weren't part of a regular set that were already programmed in...
Right.
Putting these cards in there and then later on saying, oh, whoop, never mind, you paid all this money for it. Well, let's give you some wild cards instead. I don't know. It's just, if they're going to continue doing anthologies, which I kind of hope they don't, right. They need to put them through a more rigorous testing process. I mean, they plunked Ulamog on us, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of ways to deal with an Ulamog once that hits the board.
Right. And you're not wrong. You are absolutely not wrong. It's definitely, and Historic can be, I mean, again, you and I differ on this one regard. I believe Historic is the placeholder for Pioneer. I understand you believe differently that it's going to be its own format. I don't think it's going to get a lot of support the minute we get to Pioneer.
The fact that they suspended a card from the anthology does lend a little more weight to your argument, because they can just be like, all right, Pioneer's legal, and then we're just going to zip all these cards right back out of Historic. So they're not Pioneer legal either. We're just going to turn them off. Right. And if we ever add these sets, we'll add them again, you know, as needed. But I'm hoping, I would rather be right than wrong, but I could totally understand where that might be the case, where they just go, okay, Pioneer's here, Historic, bye-bye.
Yeah. And that's going to be a problem. I mean, you know, because people are spending your hard-earned money, the only way to get the anthologies, I think you could use coins. But still, it's not a good look.
No. Wizards
is
good at
that. Historic, though. And here's the thing. I'm glad they're doing it in one regard, okay? They have learned. Because churning Brawl and making it free, giving us a metagame historic that has some feeling of a metagame attached to it, were essential at a season like this. I think somebody finally woke up at Wizards and said, holy crap, if we have a bad standard season, then we lose how much money in Arena?
Yeah.
Because, you know, and, you know, pandemic aside, you know, eventually we're going to get back to paper events, I think. You know, yeah. Like, Arena needs to be, if you want Arena to be your primary thing, then you have to allow this stuff. You have to let us play the game we want to play it. The problem that Wizards has is that, and you and I, well, I joined 93. I mean, since like the mid-90s to the late-90s, it seems like sometimes they Wizards gets a little crazy and they start thinking of ways to tell you how to play the game. And it's like, okay, and usually they get cracked back. But now, I mean, and they did kind of here too. Like, they're like, you should be playing standard in Arena and blah. And then, you know, we all go home sick and they're like, okay, we'll open Brawl up. And then they're like, well, I guess we can't take it away now.
It's funny how their data shows that people like to play Brawl when they finally let people play Brawl.
Right.
Because that was always their justification for not opening up the historic queues all the time or the Brawl queues. Like, well, our data shows that people don't really play that. That's because people don't want to have to pay to play their cards.
Listen, I want to be a part of Wizards infrastructure as much as anybody. I'd love for them to listen to our podcast, but I'm going to be a real guy here, and I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I read in a BNR or any sort of Wizards thing that they start a sentence with, our data shows, I automatically think bullshit. I automatically think you're saying what you need to say to justify this position you have of whatever you want your position to be. Our data shows that we should ban this card. Our data shows that, you know, ramp is not as big of a deal right now because we don't want to ban anything in standard because we're coming up on rotation. Our data shows that nobody's playing Brawl until we allow them to play Brawl. Our data shows that nobody's interested in playing Historic until we let them play Historic. Like, it just...
Like, the only thing left in Arena for me that they haven't done, at least off the top of my head, that I think they should do, is that they should allow best of three drafting to be ranked.
That's true.
Not ranked right now, and I think it should be, because you're not really... You're still not getting quite the full draft experience by going BO1 only for ranked, and there's no reason to play best of three if you're not into just getting those prizes. I don't know.
Right.
They need to have that full... If they should have ranked and unranked options for everything.
Right.
It doesn't cost them anything.
No. You know, well, I mean, the problem is they don't want everybody going Mythic. I get this. You need to have a ladder.
It ain't easy to go to Mythic.
No, but if you do best of three, or you know what I mean, it gets to this point where, you know, you're going to see more Mythics and more Mythics and more Mythics, and nobody's getting up into the top 1,000 and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I really would love to make Mythic one time. All I want to do is make it once. And then, you know, to say I did it. But again, I'm not willing to sit down and play Arena back to 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 back.
You need an incredibly good win rate to get to Myth once you get to Diamond.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's not a big deal. I just, you know, I'm glad that they're doing things in Historic. I do still think it's the placeholder for Pioneer. I do think that in time, once we get more of the sets in here, you're going to see Historic take a bigger hit and a bigger hit. I mean, we're supposed to be getting Amonkhet sometime this year, the remasters, right?
Yeah, next couple of months. I think right around the same time as Zendikar.
So that'll be something.
I'll look forward to that.
Honestly, I would really love it if they push Zendikar out a month. I think with the pandemic and stuff, they should push rotation out a month. Push Zendikar out a month. Bring it out in mid-October, because you always have a long time between rotation and the second set.
Well, you know, part of the problem is that the United States isn't doing so hot. The rest of the world is doing better than us, right?
Well, yeah, and I don't think that's changed anytime soon.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's delaying the set isn't a good idea. I mean, and you could see it probably hurt the sales of Aquaria, because it came out right before core set. Because if they push Zendikar out a month, they probably have to push the next set out a month, and then they might as well just change the release schedule.
But you wouldn't, because there's almost always... There's that extra month that's automatically baked in, because they don't want to do anything in December. So there's always this baked-in extra month. Like, think about it. If, so, you know, Throne was out for 3 months. What was it, late January before we got Ikoria? Or not Ikoria. What the hell was it?
Theros,
yeah. Like, it's mid to late January before anything comes out. Like,
they put a bunch of supplemental stuff out around Christmas time anyway.
Right.
It's Wizards. They have new sets out coming out every week, and there's always a new secret.
Yeah.
Which they haven't announced any new ones.
No.
Because they haven't shipped anything since January.
Somebody's like, well, we probably should slow that bad boy down a bit.
My God, people still haven't gotten their Theros ones.
Yeah. So, I mean, people are talking too about, you know, it looks like Jumpstart's going to be pushed back a week or two. Dual Masters going to be pushed back a week or two.
Certain areas, yeah. Australia, New Zealand, they have to wait an extra week or two.
So this is going to be an interesting time. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens if a second wave hits America. Or, you know, the first wave continues going the way it is. You know, we're kind of lucky here in upstate New York. We're pretty okay.
Yeah, there was a spike in the capital region over the last few days.
Yeah.
Some folks, I guess, came up from Georgia and didn't quarantine, and they infected a bunch of
people. Oh, boy.
So that's all it takes. But that's the thing. It's all it takes is that it takes one or a group of people to come up, not, you know, stay away for a few days and not follow guidelines. And then all of a sudden, there's another pocket of people that got sick.
Yep. So it's
never going to end unless people just do what they're freaking told.
Well, you know, yeah, I get it. There's a reality to it. It's like, I'm coming up for 4 days. I'm not quarantining for 2 weeks. You do what my dad did. He canceled his trip from Arizona this year. He's like, I'm not coming up. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah. You know, Zoom exists for a reason.
Yeah. Well, I can't hug my monitor. You know, like there is certain something like seeing my dad. I'm disappointed. Like,
well, yeah, absolutely.
I get to see
but
my
I mean,
dad once a year, and the man is 72. It's like
we were hoping to have a big family gathering here, but we just it's not worth the risk yet.
Just can't do it yet. So, and I get that. So, and that brings us to like the next thing is that you know otherwise in Maine one is that another thing came out on Friday. Wizards sent out a email or a notification through their WPN, their Wizards Play Network, to all of their stores that basically said, as of now, we are, again, because they had started allowing reopening and Friday Night Magics to fire and people could start doing events again, they have said, no, actually shut it down. We're seeing
It's for the United States and Latin America. They've reinstituted their suspension of in-store.
Right. Which is funny because I know of at least one store out here that's still firing events. And I'm, again, for me, I've made a choice. I'm like, I can't come. I'm not going to come. But, you know, you do you. But it's, I mean, if you're a game store owner, I'm just going to put it out there right now. You know what? You need to be a community leader. All right. Listen to what Wizards is saying. Don't have an event. Don't fire events. Okay. Be a community leader. Be somebody. Come out there and say, you know what? We need to not do these right now. That this is not the time for us to be doing this yet. And I understand that it is impacting your bottom line. I get that. And, you know, if you want to have sales and things like that to try to get some people in, I understand that. But firing an event, what is the profit margin on your event? Now, I understand that there's quantifiable profit, you know, that gets them into the store. It puts it in their mind that if they need to get magic cards, they come to us. Fine. But it's not time. Yeah. It's not the time yet.
Not to be a complete sellout shill, but hashtag be more like Kerwin. They're not firing events for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Because they know it's just not worth it.
And we don't ask him anymore even because it's funny. He gets this little vein. If you've ever talked to Steve, and you go in and even just talking about it, you know, like in passing, like, hey, how's it going? This is great. We're having a good time. This is awesome. So you think you're going to fire an event? Like he's been asked way too many times. So we stopped asking. But, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Wizards is finally doing something right. I mean, they've done a lot of things right, but this is not the time. And that's just it. What they talked about in that WPN email was a few things. They're going to keep doing the FNM Arena. Sure, thank you, Siri. They're going to keep doing Friday Night Magic on Arena. But they also mentioned something interesting. And you and I might be ahead of the game on this one, Aramis. They talked about paper play over computer. Like Zoom.
People have been doing that since the pandemic really hit. But they're really sort of getting, like, sort of kind of officially getting behind it.
Well, from the way I read that was, they may be trying to find a way to build something for it. Like, put something in the Windows Play Store, put something in the Google Play Store, App Store. Like, I read that as they're going to find a way to make it like, I download this app to play Magic. And that's genius. Like, oh my, especially if it has something like matchmaking. Holy cow. How cool would that be? You know what? I feel like playing paper. So I'm going to fire this up on my phone. And see if I can catch anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd love to see him do that. Again, nothing beats in person. Nothing can beat sitting across the table from somebody and flipping cards and grabbing theirs and stuff. But that's just it. How do you play in a store and not touch somebody else's cards when it's a rule that you have to be able to touch their cards?
Right. No, it's right now it's possible, but it's not practical. It's one of those things where, as much as this sucks, and it does, you know, wearing the mask, the social distancing, the not being able to see your family and friends, all that stuff, it all sucks. But this is something that really doesn't ever happen. So if you want it to stop, if you want it to go away, you're going to have to really deal with this for the next X number of months until we get this thing under control. And it's not under control.
And that's where we're at. And you have to accept that. So, I mean, if any stores are out there listening and you're firing events, and I don't mean to shoot you down or call you names or anything like that. I'm not calling any stores out that I might know are firing events. I'm just going to say, be a community leader. Like, just take some time, sit down, really think about what it is you're doing. And I understand that you might feel that you're helping your community by providing a place to play, but unless you've got plexiglass sitting, you know, across 6 feet of table and then little plexiglass partition, unless you're sitting in cubicles, all right, made of plexiglass and making everyone wear a mask and you have the HEPA 13, whatever the hell it is, filter, mm-hmm. and you're washing absolutely everything down and nobody can touch anything else, then you're not doing it right. And you're making it harder. And all it takes is one infected person to come in there on a Friday night and you have an epidemic yourself, and then they're going to say that they were at your store. And what's that going to do to your business?
Right. Because here's the thing. Maybe nothing happened, but maybe something does. Is that risk worth it to you? Because not even from a liability standpoint, just from a public image standpoint.
That's
you're
what I mean.
If you end up being the store that ends up causing a hot spot,
because
that's terrible.
Because remember, the big thing right now that the governor and everybody's talking about is contact tracing. So they're gonna say, well, how did you get it? I don't know. I went to play Magic at a game store the other night. How many people were there? 7 or 8, 9, 12. Okay, we're gonna need each of those names. We're gonna have to go talk to the store. Who's the store owner? And then they go and talk to you. And then somebody decides to run to the paper and say, hey, you know, and all of a sudden now you're a dick, for lack of a better term. Okay. Yeah. Now, I mean, you're not like, you know, a super dick. I mean, you're not driving drunk and killing a family of six, but I mean.
Yeah, but heaven forbid you might be killing somebody's grandparent.
Yeah. So just follow the rules, man.
It sucks. It totally
sucks.
But it's better than the alternative.
I want to sit at a table so bad and churn cards. Now, don't get me wrong. Like Commander Craft that we do on Wednesday and what I did Friday with my students, and we're going to try to find another week to do it more regular. I'm all for it. Like, I love pulling out my paper cards again and putting a deck together and spending the time to sleeve it up. Like, I got to start working on my Commander deck for this week because I don't think you guys want me to play Atraxa again. but, I mean, at the end of the day, we need to do better, okay, if we want this to end. We're already staying home. They're already canceling events. So, you know, follow Wizards' guideline. Wizards' guideline is don't host an event. You know, put it out there and say, guys, I'm not hosting. I'm going to follow. I want to make sure everybody's safe. My bottom line is not as important as everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, and think like a business leader, like a business person, and not just the bottom line and not just the fun factor. You know,
well, and like, here's the thing, too, to keep in mind. It was in the article, and I don't think we mentioned it yet. This reinstitution of the suspension goes through the Zendikar pre-release.
Yeah,
so this goes through the middle of September.
Right.
So it's not going to get any better before now in September, and if we don't do anything to change our behavior, you're looking at whatever the next set in January's pre-release being in jeopardy, or the set after that.
Yeah.
I mean, how far do you want this thing to go?
Right. So we have to, and here's the thing. You know, if you're a store that's doing it and you have a competitor within 15 miles and they find out you're doing it, well, now they have to have the pressure of doing it. Or they have to sit there and say, I definitely wouldn't open up because then that guy's a moron. And all of a sudden, the relationship that you might have built as a person, like working with another game store, now you're at this point where you're competing and it just don't do it. So, I mean, I don't want to, you know, we really seriously just... beating the hell out of us.
It's a new dead horse.
But I
same as the old horse.
Yeah, I definitely think that everyone, you know, follow the rules, man. It sucks. I get it. It sucks.
Yeah.
But you know, with that, let's go ahead and get ourselves into combat.
The cleansing breath.
Combat phase.
And then Steve and Anthony, who liked to vape during Commander Craft, decided to fog us, so.
Constant mists.
Main phase.
And if you're not watching Commander Craft on Wednesdays, you really should. It's freaking hysterical and fun. So here we go. Main two. And main two tonight, I mean, there was stuff going on in Arena this weekend. There was all neat stuff. However, where we're at right now is I want to talk about Darkness Wolf Gamer. All right. I want to talk about the winner box. So we've had some movement. All right. And here's where we're at. Since last week's show, again, we were at, I think, 13. Or I think we had our 16 right up on the night of the show.
You're right at 16 on the night of the show last week, yeah.
And I was like, listen, if we can get 16 more, we'll open it up to 32. Well, over the week, and I mean, I was throwing it out in different Facebook groups and stuff, and I was getting responses back, so we'll never do the Facebook ad again. I'm just going to put it in groups. I was getting responses, people signing up, and we got 8. And again, I said 16, and we were really presented with one of two choices. We either push it out another week to try to get the 8, which I really, really didn't want to do. We had three choices. The second choice was, you know, tell the 8, hey, sorry, told you you should be in the first 16. Sorry about that. Or we could do something that both Aramis and I didn't want to do. But when we really thought about it, we realized it's probably the better way to go. And that's put all 24 in. And what we're going to do is we're going to have buys. So we have 8 buys at this point. We are taking all 24. So if you have emailed me and you're listening to this show, you should have got an email from me today that said, hey, you know, you're in. I need a playlist. You know, I need your deck list from you right away. And I need your arena name. And let's get it going. So you need to get that to me ASAP. So that would be Mark, Matt, Robert Ross, Scott Mitchell, Alice, Jason, Sasso, and Brennan. I got deck lists from some of you. And I've got a lot of deck lists. I haven't gone through and seen how many I'm missing yet. Obviously, if it gets to the point where I'll give it a couple of days, but if I get 16 deck lists and don't get deck lists from other people by like Wednesday or Thursday, then maybe I'll just fire with 16 who got me a list. I don't want to do that though. Mm-hmm. Because ideally, again, I'm really liking this. So we have 24, which means we have an uneven number for bracketing. Now, those of you who may not be familiar with how a bracket works, and I had to go over this today in the Discord, is that you really need it to be, is it prime, Aramis? What the hell's that type of number? It's not a
prime number, but it's just, it works out so that there's even brackets.
Right. You have to have the same number. It has to be exponential something. There's a math term for it. But you need either,
I think, exponential.
Yeah. It's an exponential bracket. It means so you have to have 2. And if you're going to have more than that, you have to have 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. So imagine your RAM on your computer is basically it.
There you go.
But so you have to, since we had 16, it was okay. We would have had 4 brackets of 4. Since we've gone to, you know, more than that, we have to go to 32. Well, we only have 24, which leaves 8 open. So rather than wait for the 8 or, again, disenfranchise half of that, we said, okay, we're going to do the buys. So we have a field of 32. 8 of those are buys. And Aramis and I talked it over. And forgive me, guys. I mean, a lot of podcasts do this. If I can find a way to do something for my patrons, I'm going to, especially my $1 and $3 patrons, because they don't get a lot for doing that. So any level of patron right now that was in as of this morning, which there were 6, you've got the buy. You're in. There are 6 of you. So Steve, Walt, Anthony, Mark, Matt, and George, you have a buy.
Yep. So they're in the second round.
You are in the second round automatically. And again, if you know, my recommendation is when you hear us doing this for Zendikar, if you listen, we give first dibs to our patrons and we give stuff like this to our patrons and we just like our patrons. So feel free to sign up for a patron. And I had to put that in the email today. I'm like, listen, if you sign up now, it's as of this morning. I can't like go through and like sign up for a patron. Oh, look, you get a buy now. No, it's those 6 are the buy. That leaves us 2 more. And we talked a little bit, Aramis and I, over the weekend about what to do with those 2. He, you know, the idea of perhaps a play-in was thrown around. I didn't necessarily like that. I'm like, it just seems kind of like, you know, more rounds that don't need to be there, especially because we're not playing, you know, we're not playing at an event. We're playing over a week. You know, you guys are going to set this up. I really didn't want to wait 2 or 3 days to find out who the buy, who was going to be the buy. So, and in actuality, if you win the buy, you actually played a round. So you don't really get anything for it. So what we decided the most fairest way to do this was we're just going to go with a random. Now, here's the thing. I do want to give a bump to the first 16. They did it right. They came in early. They got, you know, they told us we're in. They you know, I really feel obligated to do that. So the buy can only go to one of those first 16. And actually with, I think, how many did I have? 1, 2, 3, 4. So actually it's 12. So 12 names are going to be in for the buy. So not sure if I can show my screen. Oh, I might be able to. Wait a second. All right. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to share my screen real quick, and we're going to find out. I've already pre-done it. So hold on. Plane stuff. Which one is it? Okay. So it's that one.
Yeah. So basically what Benson's been saying. So for the next one, if we can fire with 32, that would be awesome. If we need to go with less than, you know, with 16 or whatever, just we want to make sure it stays in an even bracket number.
That did not work, so we will not do that. Let's all right. So you guys are gonna have to just this is on the honor system here, because I can't make that work. I never thought of that. We used to be able to do it on BeLive really well.
It doesn't work quite as well here.
No, it does not. So I'm just gonna stop the share and fix it. So that we're back, and
hey, we're back.
Yeah, well, we're still not on the screen yet. Hold on, I gotta.
Yeah.
OBS gets a little freaky, so. Mm. And but in any event.
Sign up early. Sign up often.
Yeah.
Because we want as many people as possible to be in on this, and you know we don't mind giving our patrons preferential treatment, but we do want an even playing field. So if we get an even number of people, you guys all have the same shot.
Yeah, exactly. So, hold on. I'm still trying to get our images back up. So, properties. There I am. Okay, good to go. Okay, so I have in here right now the random name picker. I have Ben, Tracheon, Brian, Mike Sanchez, Mike Franks, Jason, Sean, Ted, Cody, Keaton, and Jake. So that's it. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Did I miss somebody? Steve, Walt, Anthony, Ben, Trayton, Brian, Mike, Jason, Sean, Ted, Cody. Oh, George is out. Keaton, Jake. Ah, I put Keith on the same line. Aha, that's Jake. Well, that would have sucked. All right, there we go. So we have 12 names in here right now. So I'm going to hit this twice, and I will just read off who gets it. So the first buy is going to go to... And it doesn't say. Where did it go? Oh, the winner is Brian. Brian, you have a buy. So nice. That's Brian Straw. Brian Stock, congratulations. You have one of the buys. In fact, I'm going to put that in here.
Congratulations, sir.
Yep. And now I'm going to take him out so he doesn't get it again. All right. So we're down to 11. 1-11 shot at a round two, a round one buy. Here we go. And it's still going. The winner is Trayton. Trayton, you also have a buy. So the first 8 buys are going to be Trayton, Brian, Steve, Walt, Anthony, George, Mark, and Matt. Those are our 8 buys. I'm going to have the brackets up in the next day or so. Please, guys, I can't stress this enough. We need you to send us your deck list. I need your deck list. I need your arena name, and you need to be in the Discord. I hate to make that a thing, but we have voice tables there. And first of all, it's becoming a really great community on its own. I think you guys will really, really, really enjoy it. So definitely make sure you're in the Discord. You know, we're going to put announcements in there, keeps track of stuff. If you want to stream it, please do. Feel free. If you tell me when you're playing and that you're going to stream it, I'll go ahead and I will set up our Twitch channel, the Planestalkers podcast, to simulcast you so that when you go live, it goes live on our page as well.
Yeah, we'll give you some exposure.
And hey, Aramis isn't working. He might even call the damn thing.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, that's a possibility. It's up. Depending on the time. I mean, yeah. I could totally do it.
So I definitely would love to see that. Or even if you want to record it and try to get it to us or something, we could definitely do some things like that. So, hashtag, obviously, make sure you hashtag Planestalkers Winnabox. I think, should we just call it PT Winnabox? That's a really, PT Winnabox. No?
Sure. Yeah, all right. That'll work. Yeah. Hashtag PT Winnabox. I had to think about it.
Yeah. So definitely do that. Make sure you're, like I said, you're in the Discord. And if you haven't sent me your deck list yet, you need to do that as soon as possible. I'll go through tonight and see how many we have. I think I've got probably 10, maybe 12. We need 24. So, if you emailed me and you want to get in, this is the time to do it. So please do. Remember that it is standard only. It does currently use the standard ban list. Next time, we might get into things like Arena, or we might go ahead and say, or not Arena, Historic, or Pauper, or Artisan. Like, we may get creative. I don't mind doing Pauper or Artisan because everybody's got most of the cards.
It's a cheap format. I mean, heck, we could even do Brawl one at a time.
Could do Brawl. Because, I think we're going to be doing this for every new set. I mean, part of our sponsorship with Kerwins, we do get a box to give away every set. So, we are going to kind of do this again. So be thinking about that in 2.5 months, and I think by the time we get done with this, we'll be ready to go into the next one. So,
yeah. And here's a suggestion,
Steve,
too.
Here you go. Steve, by the way, you have a buy, sir.
There you go. Here's a suggestion for future events for people that want to enter. When you send us your email to enter, we're going to tell you what the format is when we announce the tournament. If you have a deck list already set, send it with the registration email.
And you can so that change way it's, it. The only time you can't change it is when I send the deck lists out. When I send the deck list to all the players, it's locked. That's it.
Until that point. It's like fantasy football. You have a certain number of time to change your roster, but then it's locked.
Yeah. So anyone, I've gotten a few emails. Can I change my deck? Yes. Change your deck. We haven't officially started. As soon as I say, here's the deck list, schedule it. You have 7 days to play, which is how it rolls. And now here's the thing. If all of the rounds get done, so we have 24. All right. We have 24 people, which means 12 games have to be played in a week. Mm-hmm. If all 12 games get played in 3 days, and I'm not on vacation like I am this week, next week, if all 12 games get played, we'll roll it up again. I'll do the next bracket. I'll send it out. I'll assign the tables inside Discord and say, here you go. You got 7 days from now. So this isn't going to take 5 weeks if we get the games played.
We could, if you guys are fast enough with it, we can get it done within a week if you're really that quick.
Yep. So definitely do it. All right. Send us the list. I'm hoping you guys enjoy it, but I'm very excited. So our official list of who's playing is Steve, Walt, Anthony, Ben, Trayton, Brian, Mike Sanchez, Mike Franks, Jason Liebert, Sean Carroll, Ted Brathberg, Cody Blevins, George Blaylock, Keaton 223, Jake A., Keith, Mark, who I do believe is our champion, Matt Dallas, Robert Ross, Scott Mitchell, Alice, Jason Margrave, Sasso, and Brandman. Again, if you're listening to this now and you haven't heard it, if you're you need to be in America, or you need to, designate who's going to get your box if you win. Otherwise, we're very excited. So I can't wait to see what's happening. I've seen some of the deck lists. You guys are getting really, really cool as far as spicy. I'm digging the spice. There's a little bit in there. Some people are playing. We got a cycling Jeskai deck, with the companion. So I'm like, okay. All right, this is cool.
And to the winner, whoever wins and you open your box, if you happen to get a Teferi, make sure you send Benson a picture so he can cry because he didn't have one. Worth it.
So, yeah. Yeah. So that's it. So we do have one email. Walter did email us before the show, so I'm going to try to find that along with my 85 other emails. Sasso did send her list. All right, their list. Good. All right, so where is Walter? Okay, so he said, hey, guys, how's your week been? You could read this on air, which is good because I started reading it on air before you said that. Walter's doing better, showing off his board that keeps his IV safe, and he was busting out laughing at it yesterday, so he's finally getting better and possibly end of week getting his Hickman line. So that's his son, those of you who've been following along with that. So he said he's seen Magic is doing another arena open, but for Historic this time. So are you going to try it out? No. I know I will, because just like last time, I can almost guarantee they will put those lands out that you can get in the packs anyway, LOL. Jumpstart releases on the 16th, so is this just like another set that comes out? Because I would love to get my Historic tip. Yes. Like, Jumpstart is actually a real thing.
It's a weird thing, though, because the cards printed in Jumpstart aren't standard legal unless they're cards that are in Core 21. Right. And I don't believe that they're going to be legal in any set, any format that they're not already legal in.
Right, and then
right?
you get to
or,
think...
Or no, there are certain weird little exceptions
right.
to that, aren't
they've
they?
They've taken some things out, and they're putting other things in. Like, they're
it's
putting
so
in
confusing!
Lightning, they're putting Lightning Strike in for a Bolt. Screw
on me. Arena. Yes. On Arena.
So, so he said, releases on the 16th. Hope you guys have a good week. The one thing that I found, I heard this during the week about Jumpstart, which I'm very, very... I'm intrigued by this.
Hmm.
They said this is not a normal set in that it is not meant to go away. As
yeah, it's not limited print.
Yeah, it's not a limited print. As long as there's demand, they will keep printing the same set or
they'll
probably
expand
it.
Demand that they print.
Yeah, so that's an interesting thought.
I like the idea.
So do I. And I have a feeling it's a test. It's almost why I'm going to buy some Jumpstart, because I really want to encourage them to keep this going. So...
And plus, the reprints in the Jumpstart set have been pretty damn good. I mean, Craterhoof Behemoth, Oracle of Moldiah. There's some really good cards in this
yeah.
set to pick up. If you don't like, especially for like Commander or other formats, I really like what they're doing with this. But you know, Lightning Bolt. I mean, not that you couldn't easily get a hold of Lightning Bolt, but still, it's someplace where you can open a Lightning Bolt.
Right. Exactly. So I definitely want to do that. So that was our email this week. Thanks for writing in, Walter. You know, Walter, I got to get with Walter. I want to find out what it's going to take to get our Twitch up to 50. We're almost at the affiliate level right now. We are at 47. God,
I think
damn
it's
it.
Basically we have to start pumping yeah. out more content. I think that's
so,
really what it
I
is.
I mean, I'm going to talk to him about that, about trying to see what we can do to get some stuff out there, perhaps cross advertising and stuff. But so Walter, I'll talk to you offline about some of that. But I think that's a show. I mean, we're almost at the 1 hour mark, so I guess we should probably go to.
End step.
All right, so Aramis and I are starting to pick up our play mats, put our cards back in the boxes, picking up the pizza boxes, taking them over to the trash, because damn it, your mother doesn't work here anymore. But on our way out the door, we want to remind you guys and that we both stream Arena, as well as I'm actually streaming another game too, on the Planeswalkers podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at Minecrime73, where I'm actually starting to stream Minecraft, because I'm part of a second show called Flashcraft, which is we're going to, in Minecraft, be building DC-type stuff in Minecraft. So, like, our main base is going to be a Hall of Justice, and then we're going to build a Wayne Manor and a complete with the Batcave. Legion of Doom, we have a swamp biome. We're going to actually put the little Legion of Doom head in. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Dude, it looks like it's a lot of fun.
It sounds like a blast.
It's with the guys who are...
Nerd!
So yep, we're doing it go. In survival mode, by the way, Steve. But it's with the guys I do Legends TV Talk with. So and it's the host of Flash TV Talk. So it's kind of a way for them to do content while those shows are off the air. So, yeah, we're definitely... Oh, believe me, Steve, I've got issues. I just lost almost everything in the damn Nether today. I was pissed. I lost a diamond pickaxe. I lost my diamond. All right, anyway, moving on. We're an end step, damn it. So you can follow me on Twitch at Minecraft73 and watch me just suck at Minecraft.
I might do that just to see that, because it's fun to see you fail.
You are an asshole.
But if you wanted to follow me on Twitch, my handle on Twitch is RmechWRX. Most of the stuff that I stream is going to be through the Planeswalkers podcast channel now, but if I ever do stream on my own channel, that's where I'll be. I'm hoping to get some Core 21 drafts out here pretty soon. It's been about the timing and everything else, but I'm hoping to get on there to start sending some stuff out. But if Twitter is more your speed to follow the show and you want to see what's going on with us, you can follow our show at PlainsTalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. Now, I'm not on there very much. I don't really post a lot. I just tend to be on there to follow the musical comings and goings of my favorite band, the New Kids on the Block. So I'm sorry. That joy is just delightful.
But my wife loved New Kids when she was a kid.
Oh, I'm sure God. She loves them now. She just can't tell you.
Oh,
you know what? We have to figure this out. I'm going to have to ask Pam about that. But, you know. And you know what? Sideways on that, I also follow Marky Mark, but not for his acting career, but for his time as a member of the Funky Bunch.
So, I thought you were going to say as an underwear model. I really thought that's where you were going with that.
Did you ever see Rockstar, the movie?
No.
You got to watch it, but at the end of it, there's an outtake, which is hysterical. If you like heavy metal 80s bands, you'll love that movie. But at the end of it, like basically they're telling the Judas Priest story. And at the end of it, he lip syncs through the whole movie, and they're doing this big concert scene, and the guys start playing Good Vibrations. So Mark Wahlberg's wearing like the hair and stuff, and all of a sudden you hear like feel it. It's just you got to see it. If you haven't seen Rockstar, it's an early 2000s movie. Tell your friends. But yes, my personal Twitter is there. Definitely following the New Kids on the Block. And you can, of course, always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker and like and follow our page there, as well as please go to our Twitch. We already said our Twitch, but definitely like our page and follow our page there because we're so close to 50. Moving on.
Yeah. And finally, if you'd like to send us an email to talk about our questionable musical choices. or even just, ask for advice. Or let us know how the show is going, or if you have an idea for the show. We have an Ask Aramis section that we haven't done in a while, but that's some place where I can offer you advice on anything from deck construction to limited choices. So if you want to send us an email, our email address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And I want to remind you guys, I do host another podcast that deals with the Legends of Tomorrow. It's another TV show. We just re-recorded our finale yesterday. Like I said, Flashcraft is going there. But I also want to remind you of something else. It's a brand new cast that we've started doing. It's happening every Wednesday. It's definitely a Planes Talker cast. And it's called Commandcraft. And what it is that it's me, Aramis, and you listeners. At least usually Anthony and Steve. They're kind of like our Colin and Ryan of Whose Line Is It Anyway. They're like always the third and fourth seat. We play Commander, and we have a good time. Steve was playing a degenerate piece of crap deck this week. So in game one, we actually, I think that's the fastest we were all like, nah, we fold. We're out.
Y'all quit. Yeah. I just stopped because the rest of you guys did. I was dead anyway, but I was going to go out swinging.
Game two had a much better ending. So... I do believe, by the way, I am now three. I have three wins on my belt. How many you got?
We have to check the episodes, though. I have two.
I have three. I'm telling you.
How many have we done, though?
We've done like eight.
Has it been that many already?
Wow. Yes, because think about it. He's got four. You've got two. I've got three. We've probably done nine. Dude, think about it. We started doing this right around Ikoria.
We'll have to go back and check. We'll go back and check the tape.
We started doing it before Ikoria because we did the first week. We all got the precons the second week. Yeah.
True.
I'm telling you.
We'll check to make sure because we do have to keep track of that because we want to make sure we have a tracker for that for the show. So we'll go back and check the tape.
And it is a track set 9 times out of 10. But
yeah.
I got to figure out what deck I'm using this week. And all my decks are torn apart, so I got to figure that out. But anyway, tune in Wednesday night. We usually go around 7:30. We play for about 2 hours, so it's definitely worth checking out. We interact with you guys in there. It's a lot of fun. If you want to play, if you're a patron, you're automatically in. And if you're not a patron, we'll probably still put you in.
Just let us know. Yeah, just let us know. We're happy to have people along.
I had one of my former students last week. I think he might be trying to come play again. He actually said, no, he can't this week. He said, but I'm going to talk to my boss about getting my availability switched. I'm like... Well, wow. that's putting your priorities in order. There's like
you might wanna,
the
you might
one
wanna,
side of me is like, okay, this is your job, like what you're here for. and then this is magic.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. The job should come first, and you know, unless it's like a family thing. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So
that would be kind of cool.
And then one final programming note before we leave. Next week we will be dark, completely dark. There'll be no podcast, and there will be no Command Craft. Now, unless Aramis wants to run Command Craft, and I'll show him.
I'm not
going to
be available next week.
Okay. Because I'm going on vacation. It's my first wedding anniversary, which is this, I do believe, Monday.
Yep.
My wife and I are going to leave town Saturday, and we won't be back until late Wednesday. So we
happy anniversary.
Thank you. It's great. And, you know, it's a year. So I'm there with you. But we will be back in 2 weeks. By then, hopefully, there'll been some news. Obviously, Commander Craft will go off. And I will be doing my best to interact with the Discord to at least keep the events firing. I may have to have Aramis do some of that. We'll figure it out. But we're going to try to launch this week the first round. So, again, if you are in the winner box, you need to get me your deck list as soon as possible. Otherwise, we thank you guys for listening. It's been really great. So, again, thanks for being here. We want to thank you for just being the best audience anyone can have. It's been a great time here. We're about a year and a half, and I'm very excited. So for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying one more time, thank you for being listeners. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks or for Wednesday for Commander Craft. So take care. Have a great week. And remember to leave some of your mana untapped because you never know when you need it. Take care. Have a good one. Bye-bye.